Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocol Number 2. Economic Wars. 1. It is indispensable for our purpose that wars, so far as possible, should not result in territorial gains. War will thus be brought onto the economic ground, where the nations will not fail to perceive in the assistance we give, the strength of our predominance, and this state of things will put both sides at the mercy of our international agenda, which possesses millions of eyes ever on the watch, and unhampered by any limitations whatsoever. Our international rights will then wipe out national rights, in the proper sense of right, and will rule the nations, precisely as the civil law of states rules the relations of their subjects among themselves. 2. The administrators, whom we shall choose from among the public, with strict regard to their capacities for servile obedience, will not be persons trained in the arts of government, and will therefore easily become pawns in our game, in the hands of men of learning and genius, who will be their advisors, specialists, bred and reared from early childhood, to rule the affairs of the whole world. As is well known to you, these specialists of ours have been drawing to fit them for rule, the information they need from our political plans, from the lessons of history, from observations made of the events of every moment as it passes. The goyim are not guided by practical use of unprejudiced historical observation, but by theoretical routine, without any critical regard for consequent results. We need not, therefore, take any account of them, let them amuse themselves, until the hour strikes, or live on hopes of new forms of enterprising pastime, or on the memories of all they have enjoyed. For them, let that play the principal part, which we have persuaded them to accept, as the dictates of science theory. It is with this object in view, that we are constantly, by means of our press, arousing a blind confidence in these theories. The intellectuals of the goyim will puff themselves up with their knowledges, and without any logical verification of them, will put into effect all the information available from science, which our agenda specialists have cunningly pieced together for the purpose of educating their minds in the direction we want. 3. Do not suppose for a moment that these statements are empty words. Think carefully of the successes we arranged for Darwinism, Marxism, Nietzscheism. To us Jews, at any rate, it should be plain to see what a disintegrating importance these directives have had upon the minds of the goyim. 4. It is indispensable for us to take account of the thoughts, characters, tendencies of the nations, in order to avoid making slips in the political and in the direction of administrative affairs. The triumph of our system, of which the component parts of the machinery may be variously disposed, according to the temperament of the peoples met on our way, will fail of success if the practical application of it be not based upon the summing up of the lessons of the past in the light of the present. 5. In the hands of the states of today, there is a great force that creates the movement of thought in the people, and that is the press. The part played by the press is to keep pointing our requirements, supposed to be indispensable, to give voice to the complaints of the people, to express and to create discontent. It is in the press that the triumph of freedom of speech finds its incarnation. But the goyim states have not known how to make use of this force, and it has fallen into our hands. Through the press, we have gained the power to influence, while remaining ourselves in the shade. Thanks to the press, we have got the fold in our hands, notwithstanding that we have had to gather it out of the oceans of blood and tears. But it has paid us, though we have sacrificed many of our people. Each victim on our side is worth in the sight of God 1,000 goyim.